we want to read this morning from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, and I put in at verse 5. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And may God be pleased to bless these words as we consider them this morning. There are many things in life that are hurtful, but none more hurtful than when Christians argue and refuse to associate with one another. This dishonors the Lord, and it hurts the people involved. It turns young people off when they see adults do not get along. Others who are not followers of Jesus Christ or are not members of a church may say, if that is what Christianity is all about, forget it. Anytime a bunch of people, imperfect people, get together, you can expect different opinions and sometimes personality arguments. But differences in the church can get to be very hot, and this is understandable. For religious convictions are deep-rooted, and it always seems to be so much at stake. And if you know God's truth and the eternal destiny of people is in the balance, it's not easy not to be upset. On the other hand, if no one in the church never gets upset about anything, it could be a sign that something is dreadfully wrong. The church that argues over everything is as bad as a church that won't fight for anything. In some churches, there are men who lead the church and yet deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny his resurrection, and they deny he is God. And yet, they let them stay in the pulpit and continue to contradict the Christian faith that they are supposed to preach and teach. Rather than get rid of them from their places, they argue in their favor for unity and Christian love. Churches that have leaders who deny Jesus Christ are not showing unity and love. They are showing that they do not care about Jesus and his word, the Bible, or the people they are supposed to lead to salvation in Jesus Christ. The apostles would have a heyday with these men who are false teachers, denying that Christ is the way and the only way of salvation. The apostle Peter puts it in this way. In his second letter, chapter 2, and verse 22, I read, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Also, we find the Apostle John had a word for this kind in his second letter, and verse 7 we read, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And then again, Paul adds his word in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Anyone in the church who denies Christ, and especially any leader, he should be and must be removed, even if it means painful disagreement on the issue. We can say that many of the divisions among Christians have little to do with denial of Jesus Christ or, for that matter, of any basic belief of the Christian faith. Too often, Christians will argue over things of less importance, as if they were arguing against a false teacher or one who denies the deity of Jesus Christ. For instance, some argue strongly in favor of fermented wine for the Lord's Supper rather than grape juice. Otherwise, they say, it can't be possibly representing the body of Christ. I have read reports from the mission fields that other elements had to be used when grape juice was not available. such as coffee, or even coconut milk tinted with berry juice, and even cola drinks. Others argue that the bread should be unleavened bread, and when they could not have it their way, they formed a new church. Christians disagree, and sometimes get very nasty with one another over the matter. For some of us, speaking in a non-rational tongue is a sign of being spirit-filled. Others are considered second-rate Christians. Some have a special understanding of timing as far as creation is concerned. And some, the style of music with them, it is a matter of life and death. The list is long. This is not the end. For some, the question is, what day should Christians observe as the day of rest and the day of worship, Saturday or Sunday? Or is it okay to treat every day the same? And then we have the up-to-date one. How about the role of women in the church? And I am sure you can add more to the list, but that will do to prove our point this morning. I pray and hope that as we progress, we will see how necessary it is for us to love the brethren, to be able to receive one another who believes, as I do, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet disagree in the minors with love. Not all things we disagree on are worth arguing about, but then there are some worth fighting about. I must be open and say that many of the disagreements are just plain stupid, but some are important. Many times we have to make up our minds whether we should disagree, and then we have the others when the matter is so important not to disagree and not to compromise. No one has a quick answer to solve all our disagreements, which would have all the problems disappear. But let's look into the Bible for guidance in dealing with disagreements. Is not our desire as Christians to live according to what the Scriptures say? And so we begin by reading Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 5, and I read it again. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also receives us, to the glory of God. Jesus received or accepted you not because you are a good person, live a perfect life, or because you are right in all your opinions. He accepted us, he accepted you freely because of his grace and his love. That is easier said than done, am I right? And so here is the question. How can people with differences still be one in heart? How can we disagree without being disagreeable? I suggest the first thing is we must remember that the true believers have and enjoy unity in Jesus Christ. Listen carefully now. Anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and that he died to redeem us from our sins, and that he rose again from the dead, he believes that he calls us to love him and obey his word, that he is coming again to judge the world. He believes that the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to receive the unearned and undeserved gift of new life. Anyone and everyone who has this faith, hope, and love in Christ is my brother and my sister in the Lord. That is regardless of what differences we have or what church we belong to or from what denomination we come. It is the Apostle Paul who wrote as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, receive one another as Christ received us, Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. Before Paul wrote these words, we find in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 and 4, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Who are you that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. We love to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Really, what are we saying here? We are saying God accepts me in spite of my sinful past, in spite of the fact that I still have many sins and many opinions that are confused or even wrong. God accepts me just because of his grace in Christ Jesus. Is not that what you mean when you say these words in song? Well then, how about other Christians? When we see someone who trusts in Christ and pursues to obey him, but just does something I think they should not do, or has an opinion I think he should not have, question, how should I respond? May I suggest, before we do anything else, I need to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. And I believe we would do well to add, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like him, or like her. That is where we should start. The amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to me, and for everyone else who believes in him. If we do not begin there, then our differences will cause us to judge one another and to argue instead of love, and divisions instead of unity. Paul in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 writes, O man, whosoever you are that judgest, for wherein you judgest another, you condemnest yourself, for you that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest you this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then, my friends, in connection with this, at your leisure, read Romans 14, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. We are not saying that sins and errors do not matter, as long as we all have faith in Jesus. It does mean, however, as much as sins and errors matter, the reality of Jesus and his amazing grace matter even more. It is one thing to say a person's actions are wrong. It's quite another thing to say that the wrong actions or error is proof that that person has no relationship with God. It is a terrible mistake to judge one's relationship with God because of their worst error. Errors do matter a lot, and they produce disastrous results. But I have met people in churches and denominations who have committed serious errors, and yet their hearts are devoted to God, and they are most eager to follow God's word. We have read, receive one another just as Christ received you. The scriptures remind us not to pass final judgment on a child of God or a servant of God when God is able to make him stand. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Christians can do something that is offensive to God and yet have hearts that are faithful to the Lord. Judgmentalism sees a person's worst mistake as a mark that they are not right with God. But amazing grace sees sin in a fellow Christian and still sees a person who loves God and is received by God. We have already said there are some beliefs and practices that openly deny Jesus Christ and deny the authority of Scripture. These things have to be driven out of the church. We find this command in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 3. But I must add, and let's be careful as we do, that God will give us understanding. There are also people and churches who have true saving faith in Christ and committed to the Word of God who do not understand or follow the Bible teaching as they should. But that is true of all of us, in a greater sense or in a smaller degree. In such a case, we should not let our differences outweigh our unity or destroy the fact that God has received us through faith in Christ Jesus. I do not think you will call me a heretic when I say that even serious error is not always the same as abandoning one's faith. I also believe we cannot settle all disagreements of who is right and who is wrong, or whether a certain thing is of major or minor importance. You could be one who thinks all and every disagreement between Christians can be settled by just turning to the Bible. But the Bible doesn't always address some matters in direct or exact words as we would like. And sometimes what the Bible does say on a certain matter is understood differently. It is a terrible and dangerous thing to twist the Scriptures to suit our own purpose. At the same time, I have seen cases where sincere Christians, eager to submit to God's Word, could not agree how to understand and apply certain passages. Let me read for you what John Calvin wrote. I quote, "It is presumptuous and almost blasphemous to turn the meaning of Scripture around without due care, as though it were a game we were playing. And yet, many scholars have done this at one time." He also said, "Not every disagreement comes from wicked teachers who play games with Scriptures. There is by no means universal agreement, even among those who have no lack or zeal for godliness, or piety and moderation in discussing the mysteries of God. God has never blessed His servants that they each possess full and perfect knowledge of every part of their subject. It is clear that His purpose in so limiting our knowledge is first, that we should be kept humble, and also that we should continue to have dealing with our fellow Christians. Even though it were otherwise highly desirable, we are not to look in the present life for lasting agreement among us on the exposition of passages of Scripture. In other words, God does not give any of us a complete, error-free understanding of every Bible passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, we read, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." God is not going to make us perfect in knowledge until He first makes us perfect in love. If God gave me full and perfect knowledge right now, I would be even more proud and judgmental than I already am. I do not know it all, but my brother, neither do you. This should humble us and also keep us listening to other Christians so far as we can learn from each other what we understand Scripture to be saying. All this includes listening to Christians from other churches, denominations, and not only those who happen to be our friends. Our aim on this broadcast is to set in plain words the historic Christian faith, and by that I mean the faith in the way God's people through time past have understood the written Word of God in the Bible. We should not turn every disagreement into a crisis, but at the same time, we should not be so nice that we cannot disagree with others, especially on matters that involve historic biblical principles. Churches should not avoid controversy that they just let everybody do as they please. We should be very careful of abandoning anything that has been part of historic Christian faith. For example, men who were ordained of God to lead and govern the church. This has been church practice throughout her history, until a very recent date. This issue is a great deal more important than the disagreement about music or wearing apparel. We will readily all agree these issues are not as important as faith in Jesus Christ. If a certain teaching, or for that matter even a certain church practice, has been understood around the world and throughout the years to be in accordance with God's Word as we see it in the Bible, then I say it is more likely to be a biblical principle than of any personal preference, and it would be a very serious decision to abandon it. Also, if we depend on other Christians and we want to learn from their understanding and their experience, then we should be careful. And I repeat, we should be very careful about receiving any understanding of biblical teaching that contradicts the understanding God's people had in church history. We have this warning in the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I understand readily that I have only touched the surface on this subject using a few examples, and I have no doubt someone may be disturbed by what was said. And I agree with you, these are hard issues to speak on. But permit me to remind you, even as I have already said, if you and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to obey the Scriptures, then even if our differences are important, we must keep listening to each other, and we must keep listening to God as He speaks to us in His Word. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretches like you and like me. You get so many things wrong, and yet are right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Let's pray. Our Father, forgive us when we argue and dishonor you and hurt one another. Give us grace to receive those who commit errors and yet are your children through faith in Jesus Christ. Endow us with courage to oppose and fight the teachers who deny the gospel of saving grace and our Lord Jesus Christ. Make us to know the difference. Give us that humility that would cause us to know our own faults, our own errors, and well acquainted with our limits, and cause us to love each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.